Good morning. How's everybody this morning? All right, we are so grateful that you are here. Thanks for coming and being a part of our church family reunion this morning. Does it feel like a reunion? Yeah, because we haven't been together, most of us, for quite some time. So that's really good. If you are a guest with us this morning, welcome. We are so grateful that you are here with us. Hopefully you received a welcome packet when you came in. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by here in a little while, or just leave it on the information table on your way out. That would be so helpful to us, and we hope that our service will be a blessing to you. If you have any questions about our service, please feel free to ask, and we'll try to answer those questions for you as well. Hopefully you also received a bulletin. Hope everybody else received the bulletin when they came in. So let's take it. Let's find out what's going on. So starting today, right after our morning worship service, Sunday school begins. Yes! And we have Sunday school for kids all the way up through adults. And in our adult Sunday school class, we are going to be studying dispensations. So if you don't know what a dispensation is, you need to be here for Sunday school. If you've always wondered, is dispensation something that's important for me to be able to know? You need to be here for Sunday school. You need to be able to stay as Robert starts this very, very important and, I believe, timely topic of dispensations. Wednesday, we have Joy Lunch at Red Robin, and everyone's invited to be able to come and join us if you have the time and the opportunity to be able to come. And this is at the Red Robin by the mall over on Milwaukee. So put that on your calendar. Come and join us. Let's have a really good group out. Thursday night is Awana, and this week is Balloon Night, and our kids already know what the ins and outs are that is, and I know that they're probably looking forward to it. So due to circumstances with our kitchen, and Robert's going to come and he's going to share with us what's going on with the kitchen, we've had to postpone and reschedule our men's chili cook-off. So we're going to wait and reschedule that for sometime after the first of the year. So men, if you had your chili recipe, don't lose it. Okay, keep it in a safe place so that come after the first of the year, you'll be able to find it, and we'll be able to have that. And so that'll be a great, great time. There's lots of other things in the bulletin for you to be able to know. So at this time, I'm going to ask Robert to come and to be able to just inform you as to what's going on with our church kitchen.
Okay, so, well, Sam's already kind of talked about the high-level issue. You may have seen all the stuff on the back. That is, we're not having a worship hall sale. That is all the stuff from the kitchen we had to kind of set up and get out of the way. Almost about a week ago, there was an issue discovered with the kitchen. Fortunately, the person who discovered it was very proactive, and within an hour, we had a remediation company here taking care of business. And so we've had dehumidifiers and blowers in the back area, in the side room, and in the kitchen all week. The issue has caused an amount of unknown damage, which is why we're starting to postpone or cancel events. We've been in talks with multiple insurance companies, so that kind of gives you an idea of what might be going on. So there are multiple parties involved. And because there are multiple parties, we're taking a discretionary approach where we're not really talking about the details right now. However, if you do have questions, feel free to come talk to me. We can talk about it, but as far as who is involved and stuff, we're not really talking about right now. There's a lot of unknowns going on. But it's an opportunity where we've been able to praise God because the amount of damage was what we think limited to what it could have been. And so we're very thankful for that. Again, we've had to cancel or postpone some events. So when you see that occurring, now you know why. And if you have any questions, come let me know. Other than that, things are going well with the process. Just please stay out of there. We're trying to keep things safe and people safe. So we haven't marked it off with tape or anything. Just try to stay out of that area, both the back classroom and the kitchen. And we'll keep you updated as we get new information and it's resolved. So, okay.
Thanks, Robert. And also, thank you for your patience as we go through the process of getting our kitchen back functional and some of the other parts of this facility back functional. All right, you ready to worship?
Yes.
Ready to hear from God?
Yes.
Ready to tell God what's on your heart? Let's do it.
Would y'all stand with me, please?
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. A faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but him. This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus.
Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are here today for you. God, you have done amazing things. You are awesome. And so, Lord, we are here for you this morning. We are here to worship you, our King. And we love you. In your name we pray, amen.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light and canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. You alone are the matchless King. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders my tongue can recite. You breathe in the air, you shine in the light. Oh, measureless might, ineffable love, while angels delight to worship above. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. You alone are the matchless King. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air, you shine in the light, you shine in the light, you shine in the light.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. God, you see the empty tomb. So when I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. The battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Yeah. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees. My hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God. God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Lord, I am so thankful that we can trust in you, that you alone are truly trustworthy. You are faithful and true. And so, Lord, when we go through a fight, when we go through a battle, we go through trial and tribulation, you are there. Lord, thank you. Thank you for walking with us.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. So we'll trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering as we sing one more song about the love of our life, our Jesus.
You gave your life in place of mine. You called me your own. You brought me to life. Now my life's not my life. It belongs to you. I belong to you. You alone. alone. You're the one I live for. Left on my own, I never know the beauty at hand or see the story unfold. How you brought us to life, now your life is our life. We are one in you, we belong to you. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. I am not my own, I'm yours alone. I am not my own, yours alone. I am not my own. I am not my own. I'm yours alone. I am not my own. Yeah, I am not my own. I'm yours alone. I'm yours alone.
Worship team. You know, sometimes it's amazing as you're sitting there and you're worshiping by joining the worship team in praise and song, what God brings to your heart and to your mind. So turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 9. I know, kids, you're going to get dismissed here in just a moment for children's church. I haven't forgot. But I just want to share this that God just brought to me as we were singing this last song. But in Acts chapter 9, in verse 11, starting in verse 10, God calls a man named Ananias to go to where Saul is, to go to Damascus. And God, in verse 11, says to Ananias, and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And I was sitting here wondering, as God brought this verse to me, what do you think Saul was praying? I wonder now, because he now believes in Jesus as Savior. He's had this encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He now understands who Jesus is. I wonder if he was praying, you alone are now worthy of my praise. You alone are the one I now live for. What do you think? Think it's possible? Something to that effect, anyway. Isn't that amazing? How God just, through his Holy Spirit, just as I was sitting there, said, wow, Pastor Sam, go back to these verses and think about what it was that Saul might have been praying. All right, now that I got that off my chest, I'm not even going to charge you extra for that this morning, all right? So kids, come on down. We'll get you sent off to children's church. Man, these guys just can't wait. All right, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful that you alone are the one that is worthy of all praise. And Father, I pray that we understand that. And not only have we been able to now praise you with our lips and praise you with our voices and praise you with our songs, Father, may we now praise you with our ears and our hearts as we take in your word. Father, may you share with us what it is you want us to be able to know. And Father, may we take what it is that you give to us this morning and realize how blessed we are, and then go out and put it into practice into our lives, whether we be children or adults or everywhere in between. Father, we're asking you to be able to fill us with what it is now you know that we need from your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. Well, hopefully by now you found Acts chapter 9. And so we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 11, through 19 through 31. And I know that what you're thinking, because you're all a very observant group. Pastor, you preached on these verses last week. You're absolutely right. So I'm not going to be like the preacher who first went to a church and he got up on his first Sunday and he preached the message and everybody thought it was really good. And so they come back the next week and he preaches from the same verses and he preaches the same exact message. And they thought it was kind of good. And they come back the next week and he preaches from those same verses and he preaches that same message. And so finally, the leadership of the team, the leadership team of the church got together, and so after church they talked with the pastor and they said, why are you preaching the same verses? Why are you preaching the same message? When are you going to move on to someone else, to something else? And the pastor looked at them and said, when you start doing what it is I'm preaching to you from these verses, then I'll move on to something else. I'm not that kind of preacher. Okay, I'm not doing that. We're going to go in a totally different direction this week with these same verses than we went last week. And I hope that you'll enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed being able to put it together to be able to relay God's word unto you. So how many of you have ever had physical therapy? And many of you know that I do chaplain ministry every Thursday morning at Riverview Rehab. And I have the opportunity to minister to the patients, which, by the way, most of the patients there are only there from anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. It's very rare that we have patients that are there longer than 6 weeks. But I have the opportunity to minister to the patients, and I also have an opportunity to minister to the staff. And some of my ministry to the staff has been to the physical therapists. And I have the opportunity to remind the patients that the key to their recovery is to work together with the physical therapists who do PT with them. Sometimes I tell the patients that PT stands for pain and torture. And the therapists are very well trained. And then I explain to the patients that the best way to achieve recovery and success is to work together with their therapists. And as I've cultivated this relationship with our therapist, there's been a trust factor. They trust me to be able to help people have the right attitude about their therapy, not just from a physical standpoint, but also from a spiritual standpoint, and it's pretty cool. And I've got to know pretty well most of our physical therapists. And one day, one of the therapists was sharing with me a way for me to be able to explain to the patients how to work with their physical therapist. And I'm going to let you in on their secrets, okay? Never say it's easy, because they'll just make it harder. So never tell the physical therapist, oh, this is a piece of cake. Wrong thing to say to a physical therapist. Never lose count, because you'll have to start all over again. You know, some people, as they're doing their exercises, they go 1, 6, 12, 14. Don't do that, because the therapist will make you go all the way back to 1. Never scream or cry, because it only encourages them. Never hold your breath, because if you pass out, they have to fill out a report. Now, the biggest challenge for physical therapists is to persuade patients to do their part in rehabilitation, not only when they're in the rehab facility, but also when they go home. They send them a list of instructions. They send them a list of detailed exercises that is expected for them to be able to do once they get home, because they don't go home from Riverview Rehab, at least, until they've proven that they've made significant progress, and they've proven that they can be trusted when they go home to do what it is the instructions say for them to be able to do. But the number of patients that actually follow an exercise regime once they get home is about 75%. And those who don't follow the regime end up doing more harm. And those who refuse to do any therapy or exercises can end up with no recovery. And I've met some of those as I've been doing chaplain work at Riverview Rehab. I've met with some who said, I don't know why I'm here. I don't want to do any rehab. So then we have to take them from the physical and talk to them about the spiritual and make sure that they are in a proper frame of attitude and a proper frame of mind, and that there's a reason that God has them at this place. There's a reason God is now walking with them through this new chapter of their lives. And you know, one of the things that I've learned is that there are some parallels between physical rehabilitation and spiritual rehabilitation. As we grow spiritually, we must allow God to do his work in our lives. I'm reminding the patients at Riverview all of the time, they need to trust God and they need to trust the process. And if they do those two things, good success is going to come their way. But as we grow spiritually, we must allow God to do his work in our lives. We need the help of others also who will help us grow spiritually. And just as physical healing takes time, spiritual growth comes with time as well. And I have to remind people all of the time on Thursday mornings that the older that we are, the longer time it takes. Now, I don't like to use the word older. I usually say the more mature we get, the more time it takes. And that's very, very true. And it's also true spiritually. Spiritual growth doesn't come instantly. Spiritual growth takes time. And we're going to see that this morning as we look at these verses here in Acts chapter 9. The power of repetition and daily habits is critical, even in our spiritual growth. You won't grow spiritually without practicing the disciplines of time in the Word, spending time in prayer with God, and spending time in fellowship with other believers. And pain is necessary to grow, not just physically, but also sometimes spiritually. I've heard the PTs at Riverview say this: today it hurts, tomorrow it works. I like that. Not just when it comes to the physical, but also when it comes to the spiritual. And you know, physical and spiritual setbacks are common, but the key is to keep moving forward. Now, we've been looking at the life of Saul after he comes to believe in Jesus as Savior. And today we're going to see what's next in the life of Saul. So hopefully by now you've found Acts chapter 9, verses 19 through 31. So I'm going to start reading in verse 19. Then Saul rose and was baptized. Then taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? Has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priest?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church multiplied. Now, just like there are exercises for us to be able to do when something in our body goes wrong. We have a surgery and something needed to be repaired, and now we need surgery to be able to strengthen that. Or we have an accident and we get injured and we need to have some exercises to be able to get that part of our body that was injured to be able to be strengthened. There are exercises for us spiritually, and there are exercises for disciples. And there are exercises for disciples in God's mission. And I want us to spend the rest of our time this morning looking at these exercises for both disciples and disciples. So first, we're going to look at the exercises for trustworthy disciples. The first exercise is engage with others. Look at verse 19. For some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus. Now, this wasn't the 11 disciples. It wasn't the 12 disciples. It was the fellow believers that were there in Damascus. These same believers that Paul had got letters of recommendation from the chief priests, letters of approval to go to Damascus and put these believers in Damascus in prison. Take them out of their churches, take them out of their homes, take them away from their jobs, put them in prison. These same believers. For some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus. Saul understood the importance of gathering with God's people. Notice they're called disciples, which we could also interject the word believers here. The second exercise is to proclaim Jesus. After drawing strength from these other believers, Paul went immediately started proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. Physical therapists know the importance of exercise right after surgery. Paul didn't wait to proclaim of the one who had changed his life. He didn't go to Bible college. He didn't sit down with a religious leader and pick his brain, pick his heart. He started immediately telling what? Of the one who changed his life. And since Saul was changed instantly, he immediately started telling others about what God had done for him. And you know what? In God's mission, you and I have that same opportunity. We don't have to know everything about the Bible. We don't have to know everything about dispensations to be able to share what it is that God means to us, what it is that God, through Jesus, has done for us as Jesus went to the cross, and that all we have to do is believe in him for the gift of eternal life. Saul didn't know a lot, but because he was changed instantly, what he did know, he boldly proclaimed. What a lesson that is for us. Previously, he had persecuted believers in the synagogues, and now he's preaching Jesus in those same synagogues. You see, if you've been saved by the Savior, you already know enough to share the Savior with others. Let me say that again. You might want to write that down. If you've been saved by the Savior, you already know enough to share the Savior with others. The next exercise is to grow towards spiritual maturity. Look at verse 22. It says, but Saul increased all the more in strength. This isn't talking about physical strength. It's talking about spiritual strength. And the tense here indicates that he kept increasing as he grew more and more spiritually. Now, when that really hits you, I think it brings about a question to our minds and to our hearts. Do you ever wonder how Saul learned so much about God in such a short time? Well, there's a clue found for us in the beginning of verse 23. It says, when many days had passed, Saul must have received somewhere along the line from the time that he came to believe in Jesus as Savior, while he was in Damascus, while he was joined up with the believers in Damascus, while he was waiting for God to be able to bring about his purpose and plan in Saul's life. Saul, somewhere along the line, in those short period of time, must have received some intense spiritual therapy. After being with others, bearing witness, and beginning to grow, Saul himself is going to face some opposition. Just as there's no gain without some pain in physical therapy, suffering helps us grow spiritually. The next exercise is to be alert to opposition. Verses 23 through 24, it says the Jews planned to kill them. The Jewish religious leaders planned to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. The Jewish religious leaders were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. Now, there is a direct fulfillment of the words that Jesus spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus, where Jesus told Saul, go to Damascus and stay there, and I will show you what it is that I have for you next. Opposition and persecution are themes throughout the entire book of Acts. And you know what? There's no way for us who follow the Savior to get a pass on suffering. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be, what's the word? Persecuted. So as trustworthy disciples of Jesus, we must discipline ourselves to exercise our faith. And at the same time, we're not meant to do this alone. As disciples, we can be disciplers to help others in their spiritual rehabilitation. And we see this in verses 25 through 30. So now I want us to look at the exercises for trustworthy disciplers. Because once we become a disciple, once we become a believer, and we start down that path of growing to spiritual maturity, we are a follower of Jesus. We are a disciple. But also as a disciple, we can also take on a responsibility of discipling someone else. That's what being a discipler is all about. We can be disciples who are disciplers. Isn't that good? We can come along somebody and help them. So let's look at the exercises for trustworthy disciplers. The first one is be a help to others. As a believer, we need to help other believers out. We're called to stick to a brother or a sister in Christ so that we can help them out when they're in a jam. Look at what it says in verse 25. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. Now, you might have gone to Sunday school or children's church when you were younger, and you might have seen the pictures of Paul being led down in a basket over the wall of the city, right? How many of you have seen that? Okay? All right? And the basket looked like it was a laundry basket, right? Wasn't very big, and they're letting this man down over the walls. So I think this was a wicker basket that probably was used to be able to carry grain. It was bigger than a laundry basket. And so Saul entered Damascus blind, and he left Damascus in a basket. So would this make Saul a basket case? Just wondering. The second exercise for disciples is to help others know God or get to know God better. Not only did Saul need help getting over the wall, but he needed someone to knock down the walls between him and the other disciples, the other believers in Jerusalem. Look at verse 26. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. Notice that Saul attempted to join with them, but he wasn't having any success. The saints were skeptical of Saul's salvation. They heard about his believing in Jesus, but they were still terrified that he was a what? He was a persecutor. Oh, this is an infiltration. He just wants to come into our midst, find out who we are, and then come back, and then take us all off to prison and bring more execution and bring more suffering to those who believe in Jesus as Savior. They didn't trust him. They were skeptical. But look at the next four words in verse 27, because these next four words are incredible. But Barnabas took him. But Barnabas took him. Not only was Barnabas a disciple, Barnabas was a discipler. Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, took hold of Saul and brought him to the apostles. And the word encouragement means to put courage into someone. Can you see that? Can you see what's going on here? Saul comes to Jerusalem, and he comes to where the believers are. and he enters into their midst, and he says, I'm now one of you. Let me tell you my story of how I came to believe in Jesus as Savior on the road to Damascus. And they went, so you stand over there. We'll stay over here close to the door. And they really didn't want to embrace Saul. They didn't really want to hear what it is that he had to say. And then there was a discipler in their midst named Barnabas. And Barnabas went over to where Saul was standing alone, puts his arm around Saul's shoulders and said, come with me. And he led him out, and he led him to the apostles. And then it was there that Barnabas spoke on behalf of Saul. Barnabas spoke up when he got to the apostles and shared Saul's salvation story. Barnabas took the time to be a discipler. Barnabas showed the courage to be a discipler and to stand by Saul and to speak for him. Who can you come alongside this week to be able to help them be able to speak what it is they know that Jesus has done for them? And because Barnabas brought Saul in, verse 28 indicates that Saul preached boldly in the name of the Lord. Notice the apostles gave their blessing for Saul to be able to what? Go into the synagogues and tell what he knew about Jesus. And by that, by doing that, the other believers, as they saw the apostles giving this blessing to Saul, they now were more encouraged to be able to, what? Come alongside Saul and to be able to help him. So, exercises for trustworthy disciples: be a help to others. Help others get to know God or get to know God better. And then help others get involved in God's mission. Because people were trying to kill Saul, and this is the third time it tells us in this chapter of chapter 9 that Saul's life was in danger. Verse 30 tells us they brought him down to Caesarea. After they got him out of Damascus, they lowered him over the walls in Damascus, and he got to Jerusalem. Now that he's in Jerusalem, now they're going to help him leave Jerusalem. So they brought him down to Caesarea, and they sent him off to Tarsus. Now, Caesarea was the coastal capital of a Roman province and the home to a Roman government official. So this was not a safe place for believers. It was located 65 miles away from Jerusalem. And the disciples made sure Saul got there safely. And then when they got there, the word had already gone to the other believers in Caesarea, put Saul on a ship and send him to Tarsus. And Tarsus was 300 miles away from Caesarea. And Tarsus was also what? Saul's hometown. So they sent him back home. You know, sometimes we need to help believers get to where God wants them to go. And there's a beautiful application of this for us as a church. And that is for us to continue to get behind our missionaries financially and prayerfully as they've been sent out into the world for God's mission. We need to pray for them. That's the best thing we can do. And then we need to continue to be able to support them. And I'm so thankful that we here at Lake Hazel Bible Church have the opportunity to be able to support those whom God has sent around the world, also here in the Treasure Valley, to be involved in his mission. So now that we see the exercises of the disciples, and now we see the exercises of the disciples, let's see what the progress is. Because that's what the therapists are looking for. That's what the therapists are hoping for, is that there will be progress, enough progress to be able to send people home, to be able to continue their recovery at home, and to continue soon to be in a comfortable environment doing those things that they enjoy doing with those people that they enjoy being with. And I always tell the residents, the patients, when I go to visit them, and they say, boy, I get to go home tomorrow. or I get to go home in a couple days. Or I won't be here next Thursday when you come, Pastor Sam. I'll be at home. And I'll always tell them, you're not too excited about that, are you? And they go, no, I'm really excited. And it's like, yeah, I get that. Okay. But I always tell them, you know, we have a goal around here for when we send you home. And the goal is this, that you don't come back. As much as you love us and as much as we love you, the goal is for you not to go out back home and do something that's going to cause you to have to come back. And they all go, oh, yeah, I get that. I don't want to come back here. And so, you know what? That's the progress. Now, there's progress in the church because of trustworthy disciples and disciplers. Acts 9:31 is the third of seven progress reports in the book of Acts. There's Acts 2, verse 47. There's Acts 6, verse 7. There's Acts 12, verse 24. There's Acts 16, verse 5. There's Acts 19, verse 20. There's Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. Because the disciples were doing what they were supposed to do and the disciplers were doing what they were supposed to do as they were working together, serving God together in God's mission, there was progress in the church. Did you get that? In verse 31, there's the progress. Let me give you the progress report if you didn't catch it. There was peace in the church. When we as disciplers and we as disciples are working together in God's mission, God's Holy Spirit brings about peace in the church. There was encouragement in the church. There was worship in the church. There was comfort in the church. When people in the church were hurting because of what the disciples were doing and what the disciplers were doing, they were able to find comfort during those times of struggles. And there was growth in the church. You see, when God's mission is being carried out, God is going to bless. God is going to bring about some things in the church that is involved and the individuals within that church that are involved in God's mission. Maybe now you're beginning to see why from the very beginning of our study in the book of Acts, my focus has been not on all of the things that are happening, but all of the things that are happening because of the importance of staying involved in God's mission. And the references to Judea here in verse 31 and Galilee and Samaria make us think of our marching orders for God's mission that we got from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 to take the message of Jesus to our neighbors and to the nations. You see, the church has not just been established in Jerusalem, but it is now scattered throughout Judea, Samaria, and into the ends of the earth. And God still today desires for his church and the individuals of his church to be involved in what? His mission. And as a result of working together with others in God's mission, we will experience rest from the challenges that sometimes happen to us in God's mission. Did you notice that it didn't take very long for challenges to come into the life of Saul after he came to believe in Jesus as Savior, and after he realized that Jesus had given him the opportunity to be involved in God's mission? There was rest that came. There was reinforcement that came. He had others come alongside of him, Barnabas and others who came alongside of him to be able to help him. There's reverence for God who has placed us in his mission. There was reverence by Saul to God because he knew God had a purpose and a plan for him to be involved in God's mission. And then there was reassurance that God is using us for his purpose and plans. Remember, God has a purpose and a plan, and nothing or no one changes that purpose or plan. No one or nothing changes his plan for disciples, for disciplers, for the church, has a hole. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we've been able to see what it is that as disciples you are wanting us to be able to do and what it is that you are wanting us to be. And one of the main things that we as disciples are supposed to do is to be disciplers, to be able to help others get to know you and get to know you better, to come alongside of them and to be able to help them in their times of challenge, to come alongside of them and be able to help them in their time of blessing, to be able to come alongside of them and help get them to the place to where they can serve in your mission as well. And Father, when the disciples and the disciplers are doing what it is you've asked them to do, you've gifted them to be able to do, there is progress in the church. Father, for that we are grateful. Help us to be that kind of a disciple. Help us to be that kind of a discipler. And help us to be that kind of a church. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song? It's called Every Day. This is our declaration to our Lord. We will live for him. What to say, Lord, it's you gave me life and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now that you have saved me, Lord. I'll give all that I am to you that every day I can be a light that shines your name. Every day, Lord, I'll learn to stand upon your word, and I pray that I may come to know you more, that you would guide me in every single step I take, that every day I can be your light unto the world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my Lord. Every day, Lord, I'll learn to stand upon your word, and I pray that I may come to know you more, that you would guide me in every single step that I take. Every day I can be a light unto the world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my Lord. It's you I live for every day. It's you I live for every day. It's you I live for every day. Come on, it's you I live for. It's you I live for every day. Jesus, it's you I live for every day. It's you I live for every day. Every day, it's you I live for. Every day, I'll follow.